So on to our first question, which is very timely. Someone asked this question. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 leads me to believe we are chosen by God. Is that true? That was the question. Well, let's look at Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 to find out the answer. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Yes, it is true. If you are a believer, God chose you. So what I want to do is I want to break this down a little bit. Josh, can you bring my mic just down a little? I'm getting a ring in the monitors. Thank you. So let's break this verse down a little bit. This is a greeting to the believers in Ephesus, and he tells them God the Father chose them before the foundation of the world, meaning this, you trusting in Jesus was predetermined before the world was made. Now, this is something that is hard for us to understand, right? Because we are in time and space, and God is above and outside of time and space. So we don't see things exactly the way God does. But the truth is this. He predetermined who would believe before the world was made. Now, that would make us holy and blameless. So the only way we can become holy and blameless is through faith in Jesus, correct? You can't work your way. You can't be perfect. You can't work your way to salvation. We can't work for that. We can't try really hard. It's a work of God based upon the sacrifice of Jesus. Now it says, in love, he predestined us for adoption. Well, what does this mean? Well, the fact that you and I are part of God's family is a result of God's love, and it's the scripture says here, it's according to his will. So this term adoption, you've probably heard me say this before, we are all creations. Everybody is a creation of God, but only those who believe become children of God. We're adopted. We're joined into his family. We're called sons and daughters. All the people that don't believe are creations of God. We call this doctrine the doctrine of election. Now, as I was praying about this, I got this question. I was like, okay, I know I've preached on this before because I preached through the book of Romans. So I went on our website, and you can do this anytime you want. You can go on our website. We have a little search bar, and you could type in election, okay? And don't type it in Google because 2024 election is going to come up, okay? So go on our church website, type in election, and on May 19th, 2013, during our Romans series, I did a whole entire series or a whole entire sermon on Romans chapter 9 about election. I will warn you, my face is a little fuller and my hair is a little darker, okay? Baby face and darker hair. But I dealt with the passage. I dealt with Romans 9, which really talks about election. It's not an easy topic. It's not something that leaves us with less questions. It actually sometimes leaves us with more. But knowing that God chooses us does bring up other questions, doesn't it? Because, you know, you're sitting here like, you mean to tell me God chose me? And then the next question is what? Why didn't you choose them? Well, Romans 9 says it's not for us to ask. That's what it actually says. But you can listen to that, okay? But knowing that God chooses us does bring up some other questions. The biggest one is this. Did I choose God or did he choose me? Did I choose God or did he choose me? And I say, yes, okay? The answer to that is both. You chose God, he chose you. And Dr. Charles Ryrie, one of my professors when I was in my undergraduate and graduate work, quotes this. He says, election assures that the chosen will be saved, but it alone does not save a person. Let me say that again. Election assures that the chosen will be saved, but it alone does not save a person. Well, what does Dr. Ryrie mean by that? Well, when we have to deal with all the other scriptures involved, is this. It means that a person still needs to respond to the gospel message. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, rose from the grave to prove that he is God. The scriptures teach us what? All who believe will have eternal life. If God chose us to believe in him and already knows who will believe, then why do we spread the gospel? That's the next question that we'll think about. Okay, if God knows everything, if God chose people, if he knows who's going to believe, why do we bother telling people? Why are we sending a team of students to Puerto Rico to spread the gospel if God already knows? They're chosen. Don't bother. Save the plane fare, right? Or why do I tell my coworkers or my family or my friends about Jesus? Why should I waste my breath? Because if they're chosen, won't they believe anyway? Why do I do this? Well, there's two main reasons that we tell others. And the first is people are responsible to believe. This is what the scriptures say. Jesus teaches. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and what? Believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Next verse, John 3:18. Whoever what? Believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So we see these action, like you have to believe. You have to trust. Next verse, Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what? You will be saved. The command is believe, or in other words, we need to respond. Which brings us to the second point, which is on the person that already believes. Why do we tell others? Why do we tell others? Well, believers are commanded to tell others. Let's look at what Romans 10:14-15 says. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. You see, when we look at this passage, we realize if a person did not have to believe, it would say something like this. It's all good. They're chosen. It doesn't matter. They don't need to hear it. They don't need to believe it. That's what it would say, essentially. But it doesn't. We need to respond, and this passage tells the believer we have a responsibility to tell others. We have a responsibility to tell others. The scripture reading this morning, Matthew 28. Does anybody know where we have that in the church? Does anybody? It's in the hallway, okay? Every time you walk past, it's in the hallway about go and tell others. Acts chapter 1, we talked about last week. Go, Jesus, his parting words were go and make disciples, preaching the good news all around the world. So we have this responsibility as believers. But notice, this responsibility is also what? It's a privilege. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Think about this team we're sending to Puerto Rico. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. They're going to fly to Puerto Rico. They're going to meet up with some kids and some adults. And maybe, just maybe, this will be the first time some of those people ever heard the gospel message. That's beautiful, isn't it? What a privilege. You are going to go to work tomorrow. And you know what? You might have people at work that don't know who Jesus is. And you have this opportunity. They throw something out there, and this is your perfect opportunity to say something. And normally you might dial it back and just be like, I don't want to seem like a religious weirdo, so I'm not going to say anything. Or you might say, you know what? No, that's not what I believe. What I believe is this. And then somebody will be like, huh, it's interesting. Tell me more about that. Or they might say, get out of here. I don't want to hear more about that. Regardless of how they respond, it's a privilege for us to do. So we can never say there's no need to tell others, but we have to realize that the salvation of another person doesn't depend on us. It depends on them responding to God that actually called them. Now, I have a little caveat with this question about election and predestination. Don't try to solve it, okay? Because people have been trying to solve it since it's been written. We don't fully understand all the ways of God. We know what's written. We know what the scriptures say. We know that we have to respond, but we know that God is the one who actually does the work. Don't try to solve it. If you go back and listen to that Romans message that I preach, you're going to be like, okay, I don't like this. Okay, I don't like this. Okay, I kind of like that. And at the end of the day, don't try to solve it. It's going to be the age-old question that we probably won't know the answer to until we see Jesus' face. And guess what? I don't think we're going to care at that point, okay? I don't really think we're going to care. So the next question is a little more like applicable to everyday life. And that question was asked, that it was this. It was a series of questions. It was this. How do we overcome in this life? How do we overcome in this life? The truth is, life can throw a lot of trials and tribulations our way. Would you agree with that? Unexpected things. As believers, we are in a daily battle with the world, with the flesh, and with the enemy. We've talked about that before. There's always going to be a struggle. If you're living and breathing on this earth, there will be a struggle. Jesus comforted his disciples because he knew they would face trouble. I mean, think about this. So they're following Jesus around, and the ultimate demise of Jesus was him being crucified. So if you're out there picking a religion and you find this guy, Jesus, walking around, Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Okay, I'm going to follow the homeless guy. Okay? And then there's a lot of adversity coming at him. And then one day in John 16:33, Jesus said, I have said these things that you might have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So now Jesus is saying, you're following me, you're gonna have trouble. You're gonna have trials. You're gonna have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, what does this mean? I have overcome the world. We know that Jesus overcame because he died and was buried and rose from the grave. That is to show us that nothing is impossible with our God. But the first way that we overcome, well, the first way that's kind of twofold is this. We need to believe and obey. We need to believe and obey. In 1 John chapter 5, John talks about this. He says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So this is talking about Christian unity. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So there's a lot here, but we know that because we believe in Christ, we gain so much in this life. And next, we can't forget this. We can't forget this. The way that we show God love is by obeying what he commands. And guess what? His commands are not burdensome. Some of you have probably heard about that book, The Five Love Languages. Here, Gary Chapman, Five Love Languages. Well, guess what Jesus' love language is? Obedience, okay? We show Jesus love by obeying what he says. Our obedience serves us, though. It serves as a form of protection because it's the outworking of our faith. So now when maybe you're the type of person that when that coworker says something that you would have a perfect opportunity to say something, you're too shy. You're maybe afraid, or maybe you're just like, But you know what? Maybe your call is not to say something at that time, but your call is to obey in front of them. Maybe obey whatever is going on. You're showing your faith by your obedience. We can show others how much faith we have by how much we obey the Lord. But we also have some protection when we obey. Do you realize that the more we obey, the less we have self-inflicted trouble. Does anybody know about self-inflicted trouble? Anybody know? Yeah. Those are the times we look back and be like, man, I wish I could tell myself something different now, right? I wish I can go back and change that decision. I wish I had listened to what Jesus said. So we believe and obey to overcome. The more we believe, the more faith we have, the more we have that overcoming feeling of, you know what? This world is not my home. Troubles and trials will come, but you know what? This too shall pass, and I'm going to continue on. The more we obey, the more we avoid self-inflicted problems, but also the more we show how much faith we have, because sometimes we're called to obey even when we don't agree. Sometimes we're called to obey even though we don't understand, but we continue to obey because why? The answer that nobody likes, because God said so, right? Because God said so. The second thing we need to do to overcome is this. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Rely on the Holy Spirit to overcome. Romans chapter 8. Now, if you know anything about Romans chapter 8, it's an amazing chapter. Romans chapter 8 is actually a go-to chapter for me, especially when someone, you know, maybe is in the hospital, they're on hospice, they're dying, and, you know, I'm like, Pastor Mike, can you come and pray with this person or talk to this person? It's not a fun call, right? But usually I'm like, okay, what am I going to read? I always go to Romans chapter 8. And mind you, if I read Romans chapter 8 to you, it doesn't mean you're going to die, okay? But Romans chapter 8 is just so rich. If you're going to memorize one chapter of the Bible, memorize Romans chapter 8. I know you guys are, here comes Pastor Mike, Romans chapter 8. What'd he say, Doc? So here's the thing. Romans chapter 8, there's so much in it. I'm going to touch on a handful of verses in this chapter. And it starts off with this, talking about the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with a groaning too deep for words. And he who searches knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever been so troubled you can't even pray? Have you ever felt that? Maybe you woke up in the middle of the night, you're dealing with something, and you're just like, you can't, and you're just like, Lord, and your prayer is just, and that's your prayer. You just don't even, but you feel a sense of peace. For some reason, you feel a sense of peace. That's my best explanation for that verse, okay? It's the Spirit groaning within us. He knows what our needs are. He knows how to satisfy. He knows how to give us peace. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And without the Spirit, we can't overcome. Each believer is filled with the Spirit. You'll never lose the Spirit. Actually, as a side note, somebody had asked about end times, which I forgot to mention last week when I was talking about end times. Does God take the Holy Spirit away from us at the time of the rapture? And there's no scripture that says he does. So there's no reason for me to believe that he does. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we can overcome even in times that we have no idea, no energy. We generally feel helpless. The Spirit does his work. He intercedes for us. He does this in our lives, the scripture tells us, according to God's will. Now, I can't stand here and explain this because it's a mystery. It's what the scriptures teach. And if you need to believe in a God that every question has a check mark and every question has an answer, then you're not believing in a God, okay? Because we can't truly understand all the ways of God. We accept what God tells us. So our next point with overcoming is this, and we're going to continue in Romans chapter 8. We need to rest in God's love and promises to overcome. Now, this is where it's kind of like a rally cry in a sense. And it says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" You know, sometimes in life, we wonder if God is for us. We're like, is God really for me? Things really stink right now. I don't like the way things are going. It just keeps on mounting. Trouble keeps coming my way. What is going on here? If you're wondering if God has done anything good for you, this is what the Apostle Paul says. Look at this verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. If you're wondering if God loves you, just look right there. Look at the cross. He's done it all for us, right? Because sometimes we focus, right? Oh, you know, I'm blessed. I got this great house, or I got this family. I got this. I'm blessed with all this stuff. And then you don't have the stuff. You're like walking Job's life, and you're like, I'm not blessed. God's not for me. He doesn't care. You want to bet? Look at the cross. He does. But you know what? Sometimes the cross brings us down to earth again, right? Because our blessings are something that we take for granted. Have you ever done that? Wow, I expect to have this great stuff. I expect to have this great family. I expect. And then when one thing doesn't go our way, I love when people come to me, I can't understand God. Why would this happen? It's like, have you looked at your life? Have you realized where you live, the time and space that God has brought you here? How could you not be thankful? Okay, you're going to give me a list of why you're not thankful? Well, I'm going to give you a list of one thing on why you should be. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for you. Then it goes on. Who shall bring any charge against God's who? You know who that is? It's us, okay? It's us. There's that word, right? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. So Jesus was condemned to the cross. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? So when Jesus died, it wasn't just for our sins, but now it's to continue to intercede for us. To remind the Father, not that the Father forgets, but to remind the Father that our sins are paid for. So then it goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors, overcomers, through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see why I share that to a person who's dealing with dying? Because I'm sure there's some degree of fear at death's door. Even for the believer, not thinking clearly at that time. So we need to be reminded, nothing will separate us. We're going to overcome. Jesus has us. No matter what's going on in our life, and I don't want to belittle anybody's problem, but I want to help you to look to the cross anytime you have a problem. Because if you don't, you're just going to remain hopeless in that problem. That's how we overcome. You know, there's been times in my life where things have come in and I did not want them to come in. I did not like them, but I had to look at the cross and just say, okay, Jesus, this is where you have me. I have to focus my attention on you. My life here is short. Our lives here are short. So we look to him for that hope. We look to him to overcome. We overcome because of God's promised love towards us. So next week, what we're going to do is this. I'd like to give a little lead in. We're going to talk about false teaching, The New Testament talks a ton about false teaching. What's going on now in like the Christian culture with false teaching and prophets and different things like that? I got a bunch of questions about that, so we're going to handle those things in the best way that we can. But I can tell you what, the scriptures have some strong, strong words to say about people that are manipulating what God's holy word has to say. So I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for each person that's here. We're thankful for that team that's going to Puerto Rico on July 6th. We pray, Lord, that we would all add them to our prayer lists. Lord, you know the beginning from the end. And you know the work that you're going to do through them on that trip. So we just pray, Lord, that we would just hold them up in prayer. I pray for each one of us. I pray for the questions that maybe we're not satisfied with the answers. I pray, Lord, that we would just rest in your love, rest in your grace, and rest in the fact that you are God and you know all things. So I'm thankful for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.